I was in there 72 and a half years, and I love the neighborhood, the people, and the stink of it. I love it all.
I ain't ready to sell yet, and I need them to leave me alone.
Real estate, that's like the only way out of poverty to reach real wealth.
Those are some of the voices at the heart of a new podcast that takes an in-depth look at gentrification in Brooklyn, New York. It's called There Goes the Neighborhood. It's a partnership between our co-producer, WNYC, and The Nation magazine, and is also part of a larger conversation about gentrification across the country here on The Takeaway. Rebecca Carroll is the producer of special projects on race at WNYC. She's also a reporter for the podcast, and for her, at its core, this is a story about race.
To me, it's primarily a racial justice story. It's about race. It's about largely white people deciding that they now, I mean, it's a cycle of migration for black and brown people, always moving according to when white people who are largely the people with money decide that they want to reclaim a neighborhood or a space. So yes, to me, it is primarily about race.
You talked to one resident in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood here in New York, in Brooklyn. Her name's Tanya.
You know what's interesting? The other day, I was walking in my neighborhood, and I saw a black elderly gentleman that I hadn't seen in a couple months, and he literally, his eyes flew open, and he said, "You're still here!" And I went, "Yeah, and you're still here. Things have changed, haven't they?" And we were like, "Yeah, black folks are disappearing."
So that's the first interview I did for this project, and coming from a non-radio, non-podcast background, that was the first time I felt like this is why audio is the perfect tool to tell this story. Because what you largely see in terms of gentrification in print or in media is the aesthetic change, you know, the artisanal shops, the boutiques, the Starbucks, you know, all of those things. But what you don't really understand are the individual stories from people.
Let's hear from Kierna now. She's also in Brooklyn in a neighborhood called Crown Heights.
It's palpable how a changing neighborhood, when a neighborhood becomes lighter, how the services become better. It's one-to-one. It's like, you know, for every 10 white people, you get a flower shop. You too can have a Starbucks. Okay, for your 11th white person, you get a bonus Whole Foods. It's like, really?
I see this in Washington, D.C. as well. And there's a debate that goes on in every city. A fancy furniture store or a street that's clean is better than a burned out building or a liquor store. That's better for all the people around. The problem is not the same people can afford to stay around.
Right. But gentrification doesn't just displace black and brown people who are poor. There are black and brown people in neighborhoods across the country that have wealth or who are middle class, who are renters, who feel pushed out because they're not welcome. And many of these places, restaurants or flower shop, as Kierna said, it's like we can go into those shops, but they're not being made for us. You know, I have talked with this woman, Monifa, who has been in the neighborhood, the Brooklyn neighborhood, Bedford-Stuyvesant, practically her whole life.
And it's just so interesting when you when you go up and down Bedford, which is just like bustling right now with like new restaurants, new cafes, but it's almost like there's a sign that like doesn't, you don't see the sign, right? But the sign is like, this restaurant is for the white people and this restaurant is for the Bed-Stuy, like the old school black Caribbean Latino Bed-Stuy folks, right?
They have wealth and they own, but they feel as though, you know, the neighborhood has changed so drastically that it's not the community that it was when they created it.
So what does this mean for the economics or even for the aesthetics that you're talking about? Does this mean that when money comes, when investment comes, which isn't a bad thing, that maintaining minority-owned businesses is the imperative to keep the character of a neighborhood in a way that's still welcoming to the people who've lived there for a generation?
Very much. I mean, to be sure. But I think even more important than that is for people who are white people, or, you know, white people with wealth who are moving into these communities that have long existed, many of which are historically black and brown, that they, rather than just take up the space or move into the space, they move into the community, which is to say, take some time to check and see if there's already an existing black association. Take some time to eat in the restaurants that already exist there. Take some time to sort of come into the community, not just the space. That's really important, I think.
The podcast is There Goes the Neighborhood. It's produced here at WNYC. Rebecca Carroll is producer of special projects on race. Rebecca Carroll, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.